just huge. I mean, it's like a man. It's big.
Okay, son.
You still don't understand what you're dealing with, do you? Perfect organism.
Just tell me one thing, Burke. You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study. Not to bring back. But to wipe them out.
That's the plan. You have my word on it.
All right, I'm in.
Let's run!
Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair.
Happy Alien Day from Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga Podcast.
Happy Alien Day and welcome to Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Prater, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Perry Chicos. Happy Alien Day.
How you doing, Perry?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's lovely to be here. Lovely day. A lot of great and amazing things, I think, to look forward to this Alien Day and just what's to come this summer. And yeah, just looking forward to this episode. We got a special treat for you guys.
We do. And joining us today in one of our content releases, our lineup, our large lineup, as we always have, is director Christian Kennedy. Director of No Man's Land, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on. So yeah, it's awesome.
Of course, of course. What we like to do when we have someone on the show who's never been on the show before, we like to find out their relationship with the Alien series, what their first experience was, what movie they saw, what that was like, and how, like, kind of what might be your favorite film, how has that changed? And then we'll kind of get into you directing this really incredible 30-minute alien short film. So let's start with that. Like, what's your relationship with the Alien series?
Yeah, so I've been a sci-fi fan since I was a kid, just Star Wars and everything. And I discovered Alien basically through, I saw Alien 3 for the first time when I was a kid back in the early 90s with a mate. And I just sort of was so captivated by the xenomorph and that sort of world. And it's kind of that's the first film I saw, actually, that I remember seeing a long time ago, early 90s. Ever since then, I used to run Aliens on TV here in Australia, like all the time. Every summer I'd usually play. We'd play twice a year at least. So I watched that, recorded on VHS, and then, you know, as you do, watched it over and over again and just became obsessed with it from there and the world, and basically, you know, collected all the books, you know, and everything like that. And a couple of mates that I remember had back then were into it as well. So we used to chat about it all the time. And so, yeah, I've been into Alien, but particularly Aliens. Not really huge Alien. I like Alien 3, but Aliens would be my favorite film of the whole series. And just the Colonial Marines aspect of it with all the tech and everything just really fascinated me and got me into the alien world, I guess. And I've sort of been obsessed with it ever since. So yeah, as you guys are as well, probably.
Yes, you're in good company.
Yes, very good company. I know we all adore Alien 3 very, very much. It's probably, well, Jamie, I don't know, it's probably your favorite out of
hands down. It's my intellectual favorite. It's my atmospheric favorite, my like aesthetic favorite. Yes. Is Alien. I love Aliens. I do. I think it's a little bit overexposed a little bit. I think there's a little bit, it gets a lot of love, which it deserves, but I think the unsung heroes are Alien and Alien 3.
Mm. I find Alien 3 is like, it's, as a filmmaker, it's amazing. It just gets better as the older I get, more experience I get with filmmaking, the more I appreciate it. It's like fine wine, Alien 3. It gets better with the more times you watch it. It's a great film, but yeah, definitely. Yeah, Aliens is my favorite. But yeah.
That's awesome, Christian. I mean, we can obviously see some of that inspiration in No Man's Land too, right? Which is just great. And yeah, by all means, I mean, we love all the movies. Alien, Aliens, Alien 3 absolutely ages like fine wine, I think. Well, there's probably some people that would agree very much with that statement. Maybe not everybody, but yeah, Christian, it just love to have you on the show. And I do got to say, aside from directing No Man's Land, you're also the writer, producer, you know, cinematographer, editor, production designer, and just like looking over your website and things like that. Like, you have so many accolades and awards, from cinema festivals, to advertising and just like, I know you have an extensive background. So just curious, or just want to know a little bit more about that. Like, what was your, I know you grew up like liking sci-fi. You obviously were an Alien fan. What was your journey from there? Like, wanting to go to school for design and then like filmmaking, and how did that lead you, you know, up to No Man's Land?
Yeah. So I guess way back, sort of going way back in school, I was into, you know, I was one of those kids at school always drew comics and, you know, was obsessed with movies. And I was in a group at school that was always talking about movies and sci-fi movies particularly. And then I loved the design aspect. So I went to university to do design, studied, and then sort of majored in advertising, which I originally wanted to get into film. And then I sort of switched to advertising because it was more, I guess I could get a job straight away out of, there was money in advertising and I wanted to have some, didn't want to be a broke student. So I went advertising, but I really enjoyed that working in advertising. I worked as an art director for almost 8 years. And I sort of traveled the world working as a sort of freelance art director, you know, writing ads and working on print ads and TV commercials and stuff like that. But I always sort of, always like really loved filmmaking. When I was on a TV commercial set, I sort of thought, oh, this is what I want to be doing. And it wasn't until probably 10 years ago when I was on my last advertising job and I sort of was on a big TV commercial set and I was watching the director work and I went, that's what I want to do. So I just sort of quit out of that, went straight back to square one and just learned how to use a camera. And then basically moved back to my home city. I was living over in Brisbane and then moved back to my home city of Perth. Basically started from scratch and just started shooting and editing and shooting everything, music videos, events, like documentaries. And yeah, I've been doing it for about 10 years now, the filming aspect, and just basically I've done everything from short films to documentaries to feature films to music videos, commercials. And I do that as my sort of bread and butter job. But my main aim is to become a director, and doing the short films is kind of a way to kind of showcase that. And I've been making a short film every year for the last 10 years. And it's kind of just accumulated to No Man's Land, where I've just taken everything that I've learned over those years and just put it into that. And love Alien and love Alien series. And I just wanted to do something with the Alien franchise, and thought about doing a Colonial Marines film. And then basically ended up with the World War One, which I can get into later. But it's basically a bit of a background. So yeah, former art director, commercial art director in the advertising industry, and then sort of moved into production, which I work full-time now pretty much for my own business as a freelancer. So yeah, still mainly as a cinematographer pretty much.
Yeah, you definitely found like your passion and love through just going to school and like figuring it out. I feel like, so I grew up acting. I did a lot of stage theater, and then I started doing more film when I went to college, when I went to university as well. But my parents are always like, just like hinting at me like, hey, you know, you want to make sure like you're able to get a job that pays for pays for everything. Right. So it just is funny. It sounds like, you know, you were like, well, I should probably maybe try to do something, you know, that's going to pay the bills, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. But I think if you like filmmaking, you always end up there in the end. I think it's kind of like it's a calling that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. You always, it's kind of like, if you love filmmaking, yeah, never too late to, you guys make films. You guys have made a couple already. Yeah, short films. I haven't watched your latest one, but I'm keen to see it. So,
yeah, we released Alien Transmission last Alien Day, which is like a 10-minute short, and then this Alien Day we have an almost another 10-minute short called Absolution, which releases a week from Friday. So we're pretty excited about that. Yeah, so watching your film, we definitely really were excited, and we know. I mean, obviously, the work that went into the film that you made was probably 10 times the work that we put in our film, but we know what it's like to make a film in someone else's IP trying to get it right, trying to get everything right, like get the production levels and quality up to where it should be. And just hats off to you, by the way, just for how beautiful your film looks, how each frame is a painting. It's just really beautiful. That's something that's important to me when I watch films. I definitely want to be entertained. I want to be intellectually stimulated, but I want to see beauty. And so to have your film, which is, you know, I don't like the term fan film, but that's what they are. But to have the quality of that, of your film be as high as it is something that you don't see in fan films a lot. So bravo.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. It was a lot of work. It took a lot of passion, a lot of time, a lot of energy, as you know, with films. But yeah, it was definitely a pure passion project, that one. It was quite a big production, biggest production I've ever done. Yeah, since I said, taking on a lot of the roles myself, but I had a lot of help with it as well. But it was definitely the hardest production I've ever done. But very rewarding when you finally finish it, put it on YouTube, and get good feedback. So yeah.
How did the process start for you, Christian? Was it like, hey, I have this awesome idea and you started writing it? Or were you like, hey, I want to make an alien movie, like, let's start raising money? Or did you have, so what did that look like for you?
Oh, the process. So I think it was back in 2018. I was, I thought, oh yeah, I just wanted to, I just decided to make an alien film. And I thought, oh, I watched a lot of, I was obsessed with the Making of Aliens. I watched that. I must've watched that more times than actual Aliens. It's just how James Cameron just and the Stan Winston studio did all the practical effects. I love practical effects. And I was like, I want to have a go at this myself. I want to have a go. So I had a look online for like other, you know, sort of fan films and just sort of mucking around online, searching and sort of creating like a folder with all ideas and stuff like that. And I realized that I saw one fan film previously that was Batman Dead End. I really liked that one. It was done really well. I don't know if you've seen that. It's like these practical warrior suits. And I was like, I want to do that. I don't want to do a CG alien. I want to do a practical alien. And just watching Alien, the Making of Aliens, I was like, I could do this. I reckon I could, you know, with my skill I have, I could, if I can get a suit or suits. Yeah, and then next process was basically I was just randomly, as I was searching, looking for different like sort of locations and building this sort of folder of ideas and stuff, I stumbled across this World War One trench, which is like 4 hours away from me in Geraldton, north from where I live in Perth. And I don't know, just must have just amalgamated the two ideas together. And I was just like, yeah, aliens in World War One. It just sort of stuck with me, and then it ended up, the story just came to me, and I just sort of like, before I started writing it, I just started thinking of, you know, little scenes and shots and everything like that. And next thing, I had a script within like a month. And but finding the suits was the was the challenge. I was like, I've got the trench. I went up and scouted it, and it looked really good. And the guys that were up there were really stoked. And guy Shane, who helped me produce it, he was super pumped to do it. But I had to get these suits, and I thought, oh, I just couldn't find them. I looked on eBay. I looked on so many places, and I contacted, I think it was the UK Colonial Marines Group, because I remember seeing a photo pop up with a alien warrior suit there on a photo. And I said, where did you get that suit from? They said, oh, it's a guy in the States. He gave me a contact details, and I contacted this guy in Florida. And then he said, oh, I can give you a suit, but it was like the big chap suit from Alien. And I was like, yeah, cool. It was like really expensive and really great, like, artistry there. And I was like, okay, I want to buy one. I'll order one. He said, I can't get it to you. It's going to take about 2 years to get it to you. And I was like, I want this thing within, you know, 6 months sort of thing. And then, I was looking through his folder of photos on his website, and he had some of the alien warrior heads in the background. I said, where'd you get those? That's what I want. I want the alien warrior. I want the, you know, the real nimble running around from aliens. And he said, oh, well, that's the one I want. And he goes, oh, that's the guy in Colorado who makes those. And I said, well, can I have his details? So he gave me his number and email, and I contacted him. I said, oh, are you the guy who does the suits, you know? And then he just sent me a photo, like a empty warehouse full of just alien warrior suits. And I said, shut up and take my money. I'll get two of them. So I basically ordered two of these kits and, got them, sent them out here. And they're very rough. They're like sort of like mold, foam latex molds. And I didn't know how to put them together. So I just went to a local props place that does all stuff for the local museum, and they paint amazing, the amazing artists. They do like big whale sharks and dolphin exhibits for the museum and stuff like that. So I took it to them, and they were just like, the guy brings out I said, oh, I want these painted. And they're like, where the hell did you get these first off? And I said, oh, I got them in the States and everything. They were so stoked. And then they brought out the Stan Winston book, and they opened it up and they go, how do you want the color? And I was like, these guys they're just like big alien fans. So they had the Stan Winston book, and they said, oh, basically they copied exactly the kind of look of the alien warrior, you know, with the high contrast paint job and everything. And left it with them for about 6 months, came back, and I was just blown away with the quality. So I had the suits, I had the location. The actors were all, you know, friends of mine and some other crew. And then, costumes, I got, it's just a big sort of, the pre-production was fun, but it was like just getting everyone up there to the trench and finding the actors and everything was a challenge. But in the end, I got it done, and it was a lot of fun.
Can you talk about the story? So you said that you wanted to make a film with Colonial Marines. How did that change, and why did that change? And how did you come to the story that you told?
Yeah. So originally, my original script ideas, you know, was basically, I wanted to, go back a bit. I did a short film a few years ago in a submarine, which it picked up a few awards. It was a sci-fi film. It's on my YouTube channel. And I shot in a submarine, and I thought, I could just use that set again and do it as like a ship, because I learned a lot how to light it my friend shot it, and he did a really good job of it. I thought maybe I'd just shoot in there and I'll do a Colonial Marine scene, and there's plenty of like little tunnels and stuff, and I could have the alien, you know, crawling through the portholes and stuff like that. And that was kind of the idea. And I was like, oh, where am I going to get alien Colonial Marines outfits and costumes as well? It was just a kind of, I had no idea where to get all that stuff, and there's no one in my city that has all that stuff. So I think there's a group over in Melbourne, that Colonial Marines group in Melbourne, but I just thought, logistically it's pretty hard, and with budget and stuff like that. But so I just kind of put that in the sort of in the folder, the other ideas folder, and then just once I found that trench and I was sort of set on World War I, I thought, you know, they've got weapons, they've got, you know, and maybe I could make this like a alien set in World War I. So yeah, that's what I did ultimately in the end.
Lieutenant! Gun on this!
One thing I want to make sure we touch on is, I know you mentioned you ran into James Cameron. So you definitely have to tell us that before. I just remember that. But I was honestly curious as to like what location setting wise, right? Like how you did the ship in the trenches and all of that. That's really cool that you have those just awesome locations near you in Perth. Or somewhat near you, I guess. But and then just the prop place with the Winston book, like being able to help, it just sounds like it was meant to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
it was a lot of like trying to find, because you know, there was only I think they were the only guys in the whole state that could have done it, really. They're called CDM Studios. If you want to check them out, they're really talented guys, and they're amazing. They create amazing props and stuff like that. They don't do a lot. They do a lot of stuff for the commercial industry, but there's not a huge film industry here in Western Australia. There is a film industry, but it's they mostly work on commercial stuff and stuff for the museum and that. But it was a like yeah, as I said, a lot of things came together and gelled pretty well for that film. Like finding the main actor I'd worked with before and all the crew trying to get everyone at the right time. The guy who played the alien, actually, I was just like literally a week before the shoot, I was just going to just get my brother to jump in the suit or another mate. And I'm at this party, friend's party, who was one of the actors, one of the guy on the machine gun, Peter. And I said, oh, I'm looking for somebody who could play the alien, someone tall and lanky, who's quite, you know, nimble, who knows how to act. And they said, oh, over Evan over here. And he just graduated, I think, you know, acting school. And he was like, I'll do it. You know, I think he was 6'5" and lanky and, you know, a performance actor and everything. And he was the guy who played in the suit. It just worked out perfectly. It's funny how that happened. But yeah, the whole film kind of just happened like that. So it was a lot of, you know, a lot of things going the right way, pretty much. For post-production, it was a different story. It was a long, brutal, uphill battle the whole time. But yeah, the production and pre-production was fun and stuff like that. But yeah.
Can you talk about, like, obviously this is a period film, so that means you had to get uniforms for World War One that were authentic, or at least authentic in its aesthetic. It's got to match. How was that? What was that like? Trying to, like, make sure that everything that you had was authentic to the period.
Yeah, so the guys up in the trench, they're like a reenactment group, and Shane and all the crew up there, they do like this. So it's like a tourist go there and they walk through the tunnels and they show them what it's like to be in World War One in Gallipoli. It's like meant to be it's a replica of a trench that was in Turkey. It was Australians fighting the Turkish back in sort of the First World War in Gallipoli. It's a famous battle. And they sort of, it's like they have a little remembrance thing there, and they have like tours and they show people what it was like and, you know, a little bit about the history and stuff. So they had a lot of costumes and props themselves. I had to get a lot of weapons for the extras and stuff like that. So there's a local sort of set armor here in Perth I've worked with before for music videos and other short films and stuff like that. And then for the costumes, for the bulk of them, there's a bunch of guys over in the Gold Coast. So they outfit for pretty much any war film or period film in Australia they outfit for. So they did like the Pacific, Band of Brothers, trying to think of any other films. I think they did they outfit, Pirates of the Caribbean. They do all those, like the films that shot on the Gold Coast. So they've got like a huge like warehouse full of whatever war period you want, Vietnam or World War One, World War Two. So I just made my order, and I've ordered stuff before off them. Spark Films, they're called, I think, Spark Productions. And they basically, I said exact sizes and what I wanted, showed them, you know, some examples, and they're awesome. They delivered exactly what I wanted and over exceeded my expectations with the costume. So they were all really cool. So yeah, I ordered a bunch of those, and then picked up some from a local, the university here has like a, you know, kind of, it's just about pooling resources, you know, when you're doing it on a low budget. So yeah, pulling a lot of favors, asking favors from people. So yeah, I got these other costumes from the uni, and yeah, a couple of things I built, the props, some of the props I built, like the sort of the gas backpack thing, I built that, and like the ammo crate and the dynamite and all that stuff I built. The alien egg was built, bought from a guy in Malaysia who custom built them. I think the face hugger I had in the scene was from eBay, I think it was. Yeah. So just kind of pulling all these, there's a lot of props, a lot of things that I needed for this film. And yeah, it was, I had to hire a truck to get it all up there to cart it on set. Cause it was it was a lot of stuff, a lot of gear, plus the film equipment as well, which yeah, I lost about 15 kilos in those 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is in pounds and metric system, but yeah. good way to lose weight is to do a highly ambitious short film and do it do most of it yourself, running around. Yeah, lost about 15 kilos. That was a good way to
you're running fit. Running all the guns around and everything, I'm sure. Yeah, that's great, Christian. What I'm curious, what was the most challenging part of it? Like, I know just like the locations, the actors, like being in tight spaces, shooting the creature, the alien, and then two, like, I know you got some great shots like at night, I guess, like with the dynamite or the flare, with the lieutenant running, Yeah, just what was the most challenging part of that?
Yeah, probably the most challenging thing was that we shot it in November up in Geraldton. It was so hot. It was like 40 degrees. So it was quite challenging with the suits. The suits were made very well, but the heat just kind of everything started to sort of peel off because it was just so hot. So it was kind of like and for the actor as well, it was brutal because I kind of stuffed up. I got the suits put onto a so you get like the suits are put onto like the suit molds are put onto a wetsuit. But I think in the original Aliens, they use like a 1 mil sort of, you know, wetsuit. But I ended up getting like a 4 mil, 5 mil wetsuit. So 40 degree heat, 5 mil wetsuit. he was pretty tough on the actor. So that was quite hard. And yeah, he was an absolute trooper getting through it. So you never complain once, which is awesome. Great act, very professional actor. But yeah, just like trying to keep all the parts on the suit. So I wanted a lot more movement with the suits, but it just wasn't possible because the back thing just kept falling off. And so most of the suits were held together by duct tape by the end of the shoot. So the Aussie summer's pretty relentless with the heat. So that was kind of the tough part. But the battle scenes were really tough to shoot, mainly because I had a strict sort of time limit and all the actors had to leave. And another thing was I had a pyrotechnics guy come, but he was only there for like 2 hours and he wasn't there during the battle scene. So I wanted the whole scene filled with like yellow smoke, basically to sort of be like the gas attack. But we ended up having to use like a smoke machine and then color grading it. And I had to add a lot of smoke in post. So trying to communicate with like 20 actors in gas masks and I'm shooting and directing and, you know, trying to get these aliens and tails whipping around and people are like, what are we doing? I said, don't worry, there'll be, you know, fireballs here and flames. And I'll add more smoke here. And everyone thought I was a bit crazy, but I got it done. But that's why that battle scene is quite hectic and fast cut because I probably had like 3 hours to shoot that. And I was just, yeah, a lot of the actors had to leave. And it was like, it wasn't a very sort of organized day, that one. But, you know, in the end, I saved it in the, you know, fix it in post, fix that scene in post. A lot of it's sound effects and stuff like that, but that was difficult to shoot that. Directing and shooting is such a challenge. There was a couple of mates that helped us like first AD, but really they were mostly, you know, acting. And even like the actors were going in and doing the clapperboard and the crew that we had, I had one gaffer and one assist. So yeah, usually, you know, I didn't even have a focus puller or really didn't really have a sort of like 100% dedicated first AD. So it was just, yeah, quite challenging doing like a, you know, work dealing with a lot of actors and crew and shooting and directing. So you're trying to think of like shots and also doing the production design as well. So I had so many, I had sort of, you know, so many things going on in my head when I was making that film. It was very hard to, but in the end, I got it done, but it was extremely challenging. I wouldn't recommend doing that. Well, if I did it again, I'd have a camera operator at least to sort of save some, you know, so I can sort of be more focused on the script and shots and stuff like that. But yeah, very challenging.
I just wanted to really, again, praise you for the look of the film. Not just, I know I talked about earlier how beautifully it's shot was, but the film doesn't look like digital. It looks like film. I really have I went to film school, I've made films, I've made documentaries, all those things. One thing that I have a hard time with these days is films looking so clean, films and shows, and you can see that on Netflix and everywhere. Everything just looks pristine, and it takes you out of it. And to have your film have that dirty feel, it looks dirty, it looks lived in and used. For an alien film, it's appropriate. It's just great. And from the moment the film opened, I knew that we were going to be in store for something really great just by its looks. Again, oftentimes with fan films, they're repeating things that we've seen before over and 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 over. So it's nice to see something way from left field. It reminds me a little bit of Prey, just in terms of taking the alien or the creature out of its known setting and putting it in a different era. I think that that was really brilliant and a really great choice. And again, for it to authentically feel like that era is a hard thing to achieve, and you did it. So hats off to you.
Oh, cheers for that. Yeah. Now it's a lot of work to get it to try and stay in that period, you know, trying to make sure everything was somewhat of that period. I mean, some people mentioned about the BAR gun, which is a World War II thing, but it was like, yeah, had some creative freedom with it. But yeah, it was to get that, to getting back to that film look. Yeah, I was luckily given, so I was trying to get, Aliens was shot on the K35 Canon lenses, and they're really expensive vintage lenses, and I wanted that look, I wanted the warmth of those lenses, and I was trying to get them, and I couldn't because it was hideously overpriced to rent, and I had to get them from over east. But luckily, Canon Australia helped me out, and they lent me a set of the Canon Sumire lenses, which are kind of like a modern K35. So I kind of have a really vintage kind of look in a modern lens housing. So I was quite lucky to get those. So that a lot of that look and the colors and stuff comes from those, from the lenses, but also the color grade as well. A local production house called Boogie Monster here in Perth, they work on a lot of feature films, and I think they recently did a Blumhouse film, but the guy Steve is a really, really talented colorist. And yeah, I wanted it to look like a sort of, my reference for the color was Lawrence of Arabia. So I gave him the reference shots for that. And then had another colorist sort of create the look, and they added some film grain on top of that. So a lot of the sort of that filmic look was a lot to do with the lighting, lenses, but also the color grading as well. So that had definitely you got a good eye for that. It was I was going for the filmic sort of somewhat 16 millimeter kind of look, but it was shot on a Red Dragon cinema camera, and so I had, you know, I shot it in RAW. I had all that dynamic range, so there's quite a lot to for the colorist to work with, and also some of the visual effects as well. There's quite a lot of visual effects in there, a lot of compositing, which you probably wouldn't, some of the shots you notice, but a lot of the shots you don't. I got a mate who worked for ILM in Singapore. He did a couple of shots, and he was working on The Mandalorian, and then had a few days off and worked on that, and then he was on Book of Boba Fett, I think, and then he recommended me a mate up in Thailand who ended up did a lot of the shots as well. So yeah, it was a lot of the post-production aspect to get it all right was quite a lot of work. It was a big learning process, really, you know, the whole thing. But definitely huge learning process for me. So, but that's what, you know, you're constantly learning with filmmaking, I guess. It was one big lesson. Don't go to film school. Just make yourself a bunch of shorts and you'll learn the hard way. That's the best way.
Yeah, I'm going to make a movie and then you just figure it out.
The fan films. Yeah, there, as you notice, there's some Easter eggs in there, some Aliens Easter eggs, which I just had to put in. Some people said, you shouldn't do that. But I don't know. I had to throw a couple of those little things in there. It's a fan film after all. So, you know, you got to have those things in there.
Couldn't help yourself. No, I loved they mostly come at night when they capture the guy. And I love that scene, actually, because I thought the actor did a great job of just like creating the dread. When I saw it for the first time, I was like, oh shit, this guy is scared. Like this could get scary. Like he's really scared of what they're, you know, what could happen to them. And the cornbread, the canned cornbread.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And the fly just going on the cornbread at the right time. That was a real fly. Yeah. But it just could have, and you know, yeah, I shot that can for probably like 5 minutes, you know, I got so much footage of it getting the right thing, but it's funny. Yeah. All the little aliens Easter eggs, I guess.
Yeah.
One great moment, that isn't an alien Easter egg is when a ant is crawling up and he slams the knife down and it cuts the ant in half. I would imagine that ant was digital, but it didn't look digital. Great moment.
Yeah,
like, this is a really great moment in this film.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that, actually. Yeah, I was blown away by the quality. A guy up in Thailand did the VFX on that, and I was like, did you get an ant model? Or I said to him, oh, could you do an ant? Like, because he just hits it down. I originally just had him, you know, that's like a play to, you know, Bishop hitting the knife in the, it was kind of like a callback to that, subtle callback. But I said, oh, imagine an ant crawling under and he hits the ant. So I sent him the clip and I said, do you reckon you could put an ant crawling and then he gets hit by the knife? And within like 24 hours, he sends me this. And I'm like, that's amazing. It blew me away. I was like, that looks like a legit real ant. So it's like a model that he's obviously created. I don't know how he did it, but it's I was like, that's staying in the film. That's awesome. And the sort of shot at the start, I think no one picked up on that, but the ant hive, the ant, hole at the start, it was a bit of a callback to Aliens when they're mentioning about the beehive, the ant hive of the ant's nest kind of thing. It's just little subtle things I threw in there, but I don't think anybody picked up on that. But they kind of look like ants as well, they're going into a hole, the xenomorphs have the exoskeleton and everything, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's so cool, Christian. I just love the inspiration to hear you talk about it, and it's just great to see the passion you have there. It's just such a awesome thing to see come from a fan yourself. That just is I was talking about with our group here earlier today. It's just so great to see that coming to the universe that is Alien from a fellow fan. We obviously try to do that. Jamie, I know you've done that, Christian working on his film Absolution, even to going back to the audio dramas that Perfect Organism has done and produced, and even everything Patrick puts out too, right? It's just it's great because we try to do so much of that, and to see someone like you, Christian, bringing us something like that, like an original story, just in its own genre almost. It's just really, really, really cool and really just heartwarming, right? For us, especially now in this time, this year, where we're getting something big from the studio finally. It's just so much momentum building up there, which is awesome. So I just gotta Yeah, I loved it. I feel like I'm fangirling a little bit to you, but there's so many things I loved about your film and just things that you did right. I mean, Jamie talks about the visual, the aesthetics there, right? And just how you made it look not so digital, and just you talking about the lenses that you use, but even just all the help you had in post too, right? And so just awesome to see your network and how you were able to bring everyone together. I mean, I think that's a testament to your filmmaking ability. I mean, whether you went to school or not, you figured it out, which is cool. You figured out a way to be successful. I mean, you look at how many views you have on this thing is awesome. And it just looks great. It's cool. And is the lieutenant, so I watched Star Child. Is he in that film as well?
Yeah, so he was the bad guy in that. That was the film I was talking about that we shot in the submarine in Fremantle.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I was talking about Fremantle. So exactly, I saw James. You're saying about I ran into James Cameron a couple of weeks ago. He was in Perth, and I literally saw him at the submarine. It was just there. Basically, I was walking out of. I'll tell you the story because I was going to get onto that before, but James Cameron. I'm a huge James Cameron fan, as probably you guys are as well. And he was walking out of the. So he had a exhibition here in Perth a couple of weeks ago. He's still running, but it's for his underwater science museum showcase thing. And he's got showing all props from Avatar and Titanic and The Abyss and stuff like that. So he came out here and he was pitching that and shot opening that basically. And he had a little talk, and I paid a ticket and went along, and I thought, oh, I wonder if I could give him a copy of the film, there's an odd chance. So I got a Blu-ray made up and went along, and it was most of the filmmakers in Perth went there, and it was ended up being this, it was an awesome speech. He spoke for an hour and a half, and just such an amazing, inspirational guy. I mean, God, I was just blown away. But all the stuff he's done, all the underwater exploration and the films, and he explained a bit about that. A lot of people asking questions about the films, but he was sort of mostly talking about the underwater exploration, which was awesome. And I sort of tried to get in to see him after, but the sort of security pushed me out. And so I went to the pub down the road, which is just near the Fremantle Maritime Museum. Like, it's where the submarine prop is, and that's where he had his has his exhibit. So I walked down there and I had a cup, some food and a beer, and I'm just walking out and I'm like, all right, it's time to go now. Walk out, and then it's just James Cameron like 30 meters in front of me, and I just walk up to him and I said, hey man, like, just, it was the perfect moment. It was like awesome. And he's just there. And I said, oh, you know, I made this alien film, just had the Blu-ray on me. I said, you know, used the original, you know, alien warrior suits, like similar to aliens. And you know, we had like, you know, shot it for this much money and da da da. And, you know, I'm a huge inspiration. So I said, you're a huge inspiration for me and I love aliens, da da da. And he sort of gave me a good like 5 minutes of his time. We're just chatting about indie filmmaking, low budget filmmaking. And it was the most surreal experience. And I got an autograph here, the got the Aliens DVD signed as well.
Nice. That's but, awesome.
Yeah, oh such, my a, God, such a cool Christian. Guy. Like, and it just it just blew me away. Just chatting to him for like, he's such a cool guy, and he gave me like the time. He had like a big entourage around him, and he sort of stopped, and I was there with another filmmaker mate, and we're just chatting with him. Got a selfie, and yeah, just such a cool dude. But yeah, like, it was just amazing. And I gave him the film, and he goes, "Oh, is this for me?" And he goes, "Yeah," and he walked off with it. So hopefully, he watches it. I haven't got an email yet from him, but if he he's got it on Blu-ray, and I put a like a QR code on the back so he can watch it online if he doesn't have a Blu-ray player. But very surreal experience as a
oh, man. James
Cameron fan. Yeah.
That's awesome. Pretty cool. I mean, it's meeting your hero. I mean, that would be me if I ever met Sigourney Weaver. It would just be one of those things. That's so awesome. Yes. Congratulations. And to have met him post making your film, where your film was this love letter back to, you know, one of the best films that he's ever made. That's a really great thing. It kind of came full circle for you. So again, congratulations on that. That's fantastic.
Nah, cheers. I'm still blown away. Still stoked. I'm just like, definitely the highlight of the year running into him. But I think he was only in Perth for a short time, and then I think he left. But I'll have to go check his exhibit out. Actually looks pretty cool. A lot of Abyss props like the helmets and stuff like that. But yeah, it's cool exhibit down there in Fremantle. Have you guys ever been to Australia before? You've been out to?
No, I travel a lot, but I've never traveled there.
Yeah, I should come out here.
I will.
Great place to visit.
Yeah,
as long as I will, keep the spiders at bay, sure.
I would love to go. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, if you ever come out here, let me know. I'm on the West Coast, so it's like I guess Perth is like the California of Australia. It's, you know, the sun sets in the west, and don't have as big film industry here, but it's getting there. Building a studio here, so it's cool. Hopefully in a few years it'll be a pretty good little spot. But yeah, I think most of the production's over on the East Coast at the moment, and New Zealand, obviously. James Cameron has is working with Weta there, and he has his base there, which they make the Avatar films and stuff like that. So
coming full circle as we walk to wrap this discussion, was No Man's Land, did it come out the way that you hoped it to? And for the record, for those listening, No Man's Land has over 4 million views on YouTube, which is fucking amazing. Like, it's just, especially for a fan film, that just doesn't happen. So did it end up being what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, I was very surprised with the amount of views it got, like, in the time it got. I thought maybe you'd get, you know, a million views after a couple of years or something like that. I was confident it would get a lot of views, but not in a week. Like, it got like 2 million views in a week. I think it was about 2 million in a week, yeah. And then now it's on 4 million just over a month. But yeah, it was, I didn't expect that at all. Like, that would get that many so quickly. So yeah, and a couple of friends shared it on Reddit and I put it on some of the fan channels, and because there's so many crew and actors and all that, they sort of shared it everywhere. But it just, it went pretty viral, and it's been awesome to read all the comments and, you know, to get the feedback that it's got. It's, you know, it's got quite a lot of likes, and I'm super stoked. I'm really grateful that, people enjoy it as well. So happy that people enjoyed it and entertained by it. And yeah, pretty much hopefully, it's I can use it to pitch for a feature. And yes, hopefully I was glad that it got the views it did. So it shows that people enjoy it. And there's a market for films like that, I guess. People want to watch that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's cool. They're definitely surprised.
Just like I said, again, Christian, just a testament to like the hard work you put into it, the planning, and your network, like just like the people you reached out to, just like how you know how to make a movie, right? Like, it's just so awesome to see those things come together, come to fruition for you, and then the feedback and just like everyone wanting to watch this is a beautiful thing. And just James Cameron at the end of it, like, puts such a nice little bow on top of it.
Yeah.
To just have that moment is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, awesome experience. But yeah, it was you know, I say I did it all myself, but it was a huge team effort. There was so many people involved in the sort of, especially in the post-production side. So yeah, I had sound guys, you know, the guys doing the sound mix, he worked so hard on Haresh, mate, doing that. He did quite a lot of work on the post sound. And Mason, local composer, spent a lot of effort on the music and trying to, he just, absolute musical genius. He just got, I said, I want it to feel like Aliens, but I don't want to copy it. But he over exceeded my expectations with the music. And then obviously the color grade and the visual effects, it was, you know, so much work that went involved and where it was involved in that. And a local sort of college helped me out with a lot of the sort of, a lot of the VFX shots, like the sort of, you know, adding muzzle flashes and just small elements in the background. So yeah, local. So it was a huge team effort. And I realized that I don't want to be a producer because it's very challenging getting, I'm good on set. I'm a great, you know, I'm in my element there, like as a creative on set, but producing is very challenging. I've got to hand it to the producers. They've got definitely a difficult job there getting everybody together and getting the films done. But yeah, I think I learned a lot. And I think if I do another one, hopefully I've got a budget, I can get a producer to do all that work. Cause it was, it's good fun, good experience, but hopefully get some money for the next one to get a bit of help in that department.
Yes. Being a one man band ish. That's a lot. Yep. I know what that's like. I know what that's like. Believe me. I also want to give kudos to the sound, the music as well. That's a big thing for me in films in general. But the fact that you guys, like towards the second half, you definitely, the music definitely resonated in a way that reminded me of Aliens without copying it. Again, big thing for me to have people who are doing these films within an IP that they don't own really to homage it, but without copying it. That's a really great thing. It's hard to pull off. And the music isn't cheesy either, which that can happen as well. You can maybe hear, certainly in femme films, they'll just take tracks from Alien or Aliens or Alien 3 and they'll just throw it in there and call it a day, which is fine, whatever. But you took the time, your musician, your composer took the time to say, we're going to do something different while feeling familiar. And that's really, really great.
There's a couple of stock tracks in there that I sort of purchased off a stock website, but I sort of, problem was I got attached to those and I don't recommend doing that. I think the next project I'll get a composer for the whole project, whereas a couple of tracks were stock, which, you know, sort of the composer wanted to do the whole thing, but I was so settled on those tracks and I had them in my head when I was writing it. So but I think for the next one, I learned just to give the whole thing to the composer and just let them do their thing because they bring their own touch to it and, you know, that's it's a learning experience anyway.
Yeah, but, composers don't like temp tracks. They don't.
No.
I mean, there's most famously controversy with Jerry Goldsmith writing for Alien, and they tempt Alien with other work of his. And then when they went to finalize it, they're like, we're not going to use a lot of this other stuff. We're going to use the temp track, which frustrated Goldsmith, understandably. But yeah, I would imagine it's hard. I mean, as someone who's directed films, edited films, it's hard to not get attached to something for sure, especially when it's working right with the imagery. And it's a thing for sure. With that said, I think this is a really good place to wrap. I know we probably could talk longer. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I guess maybe the last question for the audience, probably the audience is probably wondering what's next for you. And can you just shout out how to find you on social media or YouTube?
Yeah. So Kennedy Boy Productions is the YouTube channel. My personal Instagram, which is my sort of business one, is Christian Kennedy Boy. So you can find me on that. And the Alien fan page is Alien No Man's Land on Instagram as well. So yeah. But yeah, I've got a lot of scripts sort of in development. I'm just trying to choose which one to go for. That's the hardest part. For me, it's not coming up with the ideas. It's actually picking one to go with. So, you know, and I'm open to if any producers want to hit me up and hire me as a cinematographer or a director. So I've you know, put it out there as a proof of concept. Can do that on a low budget. But yeah, I'd love to push that to a feature concept. I've got a great idea for an AVP, you know, kind of pushing that world, like in World War One. You know, I've got so many ideas. It's just a matter of like, I guess, but I think I need some support for the next one, trying to find a producer to help me out to sort of, or a studio or someone to kind of bit of support to make the next one. Cause yeah, I want to do, for the next one is going to be big. So I want to do a feature or some, yeah, a bigger production, but maybe possibly a Kickstarter for another one. I was thinking about doing that. I still love the Colonial Marines. I'd love to do a Colonial Marine short film, have a bit of budget, maybe do a Kickstarter or something like that. But I don't know. It's a lot of time and effort and I want to do it right. So maybe just go for the, find a producer and go the feature route pretty much and choose my own IP. It might be the better way to go, but I'm still undecided on that. So many options out there, so many stories, and especially in the alien world, alien universe. It's but hopefully one day I get to work on the alien IP, maybe possibly in the future, but putting it out there.
That'd be an awesome dream.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
You gotta speak it.
You do.
Technically, Christian, you could do a sequel.
Sequel. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. 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 Or set it in a different world, or yeah, I wonder what they're going to do with the. I was just thinking. I think was there talk of them doing a new Predator film in World War II? I think there was was that the Predator Badlands? Do you know where that's set, or is that a
something? That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know they're absolutely working on another one. I think, or at least pre-production of it. I didn't know exactly the setting, timeline wise. That would be cool, though.
I think it'd be great to have a Predator in that sort of world as well. I think like a AVP film would probably work best for that. But so many ideas, so much potential. it's definitely a fun time to be an alien fan at the moment with a lot of stuff coming out.
Indeed.
And Romulus as well. So looking forward to that.
Romulus, the series. Yeah. Indeed. So much to look forward to. 100. Thanks again for coming on the show.
No worries. Thanks again for having me. It was awesome. And love your podcast and really appreciate it.
Awesome.
I just got to say, check out Alien No Man's Land. If you haven't already, it's on YouTube. It's awesome. Christian, just thank you so much. I'm glad we were able. Just thank you for being flexible and being able to work with us scheduling wise and all that good stuff. But it's awesome to have you on our show, and just happy Alien Day to everybody listening. Happy cheers, Alien Day. Christian. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Cheers.
To find out more information about Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga podcast, please go to www.perfectorganism.com. If you would like to support the show, please go to www.perfectorganism.com/support. Thank you.